Thank you, Dwight. And thank all of you this morning. It's always great to be able to be here and to see your smiling faces and know that you love God and that you have gathered here for no other purpose than to worship our Lord and our Master. Such was the case yesterday. We had a wonderful day at the Give Me the Bible conference and banquet. We had the largest crowd that we have ever had. And we were just so excited and thrilled about the day. We had 27 different congregations represented. And by the way, we had 27 preachers that had gathered with us also. And it was a wonderful, wonderful occasion. A big thank you, by the way, to Sandy and James Singletary and to Beth Freeman and others who helped in the kitchen. The food was absolutely delicious. And we really appreciate all the effort that they went to. And all of you who contributed food, by the way, many of you made desserts, and they were well received. And others had donated food, and we're so grateful for the decoration committee and everyone. It was just a wonderful, wonderful day. And but we're glad you're here this morning. You know, the Bible teaches that the first commandment of God was the command to let there be light. Of all the great commandments of our Lord in heaven, the greatest, no doubt, had to be this one. Man cannot live without light, not in this world. Nor can we experience new life, that is the eternal life, without the light who is Jesus our Lord. Let there be light. In the book of John 8 and verse 24, Jesus said, I am the light of the world, and he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And so Christ appropriately says in the book of Matthew, the 5th chapter, that we are to let our light shine. Because in reality, we're bearing the image of the greater light, who is Jesus, our Lord. In that 5th chapter, Jesus said, we are the light of the world, and Christians, in reality, must be the light in today's world. Christ was when he was here, but we are bearing that light reflection from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Let your light shine before men, that they may see, here's the purpose, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Neither do men light a candle, he says, and put it under a bushel. He says, but they put it on a candlestick, and then it giveth light to all that are in the house. Several years ago, the country charts were blessed with a great song called, You Can't Be a Beacon If Your Light Don't Shine. And you know, I've come to believe that to be true. You and I are beacons in a world of darkness. You and I are beacons to those who are on the sea of life, who are engulfed in darkness, and those who are lost and cannot find their way. But you can't be a beacon to the lost. You can't fulfill your responsibility to the lost that are adrift on the sea of life if your light does not shine. And so Jesus appropriately says to let your light shine before men. But in reality today, the lights of many are blinking on and off. The world does not know whether we are the true light or not. But the Bible says that our light is to shine before the world, not on and off, not blinking on and off. But let me share with you this morning some thoughts along the light. You know, people react to light in different ways. Maybe some of you this morning, when the sun began to rise in the east, you squinted your eyes, or you closed your eyes because you weren't ready to bail out of bed, and that's why you didn't make it for Bible class this morning. Do you know that there are people in our world today that close their eyes to the light? When Stephen was preaching, and even when the word of God was being heralded in the seventh chapter of the book of Acts, in verse 57 and following, there were those who wanted to close their ears to the teaching of the word of Jehovah God. And there are many today who will close their eyes. How many times have you heard people say, well, I see that's what it says, but I just don't believe that. In reality, what they have done is that they have closed their eyes to truth. They have. Jesus said that we need to open our eyes that we may see the truth. Some people will contradict and blaspheme the light. Acts chapter 13. When Paul had been on one of his missionary journeys, and when Paul was preaching the word of God, they began after a period of time to blaspheme and even contradict the scriptures. There are those who will hear this lesson, no doubt, on the internet, and those who will hear it perhaps around the world in different places, who will contradict what I'm saying this morning and who will blaspheme the word of God, just as they did the words of the Apostle Paul and just as they did the words of Jesus. Sometimes people react to the truth of God by mocking it. In Acts 17 and verse 32, the Bible says, "And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked and others said, 'We will hear thee again of this matter.'" You know, it seems to me that there are a lot of people in our world today that are mocking the word of God. But the Bible in the book of Galatians chapter 6 says that God is not mocked. "For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." But people react to the light of the word of God in different ways. Some men are enraged by it. They love the praises of men, and they had rather walk in darkness than to walk in light. Some will raise their voice against the word of God. They become enraged. They're mad. They're angry when the word of God is being taught. Acts chapter 22. Some men will pervert the light of the gospel. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 7. Paul says, "I marvel that you are so soon removed from him who called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another," he says, "but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which has been preached unto you, let him be accursed." The Greek word is anathema, cut off. Some men will distort and obscure the word. They do. They will take the Bible and they will begin to preach it to their own liking. They will begin to say, "Whatever you want me to preach, I'll preach. Or whatever you want me to say, I'll say. I will not conform to the word, but I want you to conform to my wishes." And they will change the word, just as 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 16 says, that they change the word of God. If you're reading the King James, it says that they would wrest the scriptures to their own destruction. People react to the light in different ways. Some people get offended. No doubt there are people who get offended by the teaching and the preaching of the word of God. Jesus, in the book of John chapter 6 and verse 60 and 61, who had previously taught about his impending physical demise and crucifixion upon the cross, many of them were offended by what Christ had to say. And he even asked them the question. He says, "Does this," that is the truth, "offend you?" Let me ask you a question this morning. How do you react when the word of God is taught? Do you get mad at the preacher? Go ahead. It's happened before. But some people do. Some people get real mad and angry at the preacher. They don't like it when truth is taught. And they are like those of Isaiah's day who says, "Preach unto us smooth things." You know, when I read the Bible, I understand that people are going to get mad. They are going to snub God. They are going to snub the messenger. And they are just simply going to ignore God. But how are they blind spiritually? Well, Paul, in the book of 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 14, gives the answer. He says, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolish unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned." We've got a lot of people out in the world today that are mocking the truth. There are a lot of people who believe that what you're doing by sitting in a church house this morning, praising God and listening to His Word being taught, they think it is an act in futility, and they think that you are foolish by even being here. And oddly enough, even some Christians turn their light off and they wonder why they walk in darkness. They do. We got a lot of Christians that need to turn their light on once again. In his book, Do Yourself a Favor, Love Your Wife, there's a story about a certain little boy who was asked what his father did. And the little boy just simply said, "Well, he watches." And the man said, You mean that he is a night watchman?" And he said, "Oh, no, he just watches." And the man said, "Well, what does he watch?" He says, "Oh, I don't know if I can tell you everything." He said, "But I can name a few things." And the man said, well, tell me what he watches." And the little boy said, "Well, he watches TV. He watches mom do the housework. He watches for the paper boy. He watches the weather. I think he watches girls too. He watches the stock market. He watches football games. He watches all sports. He watches mother punish us. And he watches us do our homework. He watches us leave to go to church and to PTA and shopping. He watches mom write letters. And he watches me play with my dog. He watches mom pay the bills. But mainly, with a touch of sadness, he said, he just watches. You know what? In the church today, we have a lot of watchers. We don't have a lot of workers, but we got a lot of watchers. We got a lot of people who watch other people work. There'll be a lot of watchers tomorrow night for Monday night for the Master. They won't be here working and serving God, but they'll be watching. Bless their souls. We need to let Jesus shine through us. We do. Many have never really learned that lesson. You know what? It is good to be a Christian and know it. But it is better to be a Christian and show it by the way that you live. What is the purpose of light anyway? Never really thought about that. God said, "Let there be light." But what's the purpose of light? Let me share with you not only the reactions that people have toward light, but what light really does in reality. Light illuminates. Do you know light is illuminating this room right now? It is true. Light illuminates. And when I think of it in a spiritual sense, well, let me tell you, first of all, there are some lights that we don't like to illuminate. Many of them. Maybe some of you have experienced that. I think Adam has recently, but I was not going to call attention to that, and so strike that. But in the book of Genesis chapter 1, God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. In John 8 and verse 12, Jesus said, "I am the light of the world, and he that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Christ illuminates our way. In Isaiah 9 and verse 2, the word says, "The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. That they that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined." The purpose of light is not just to illuminate, however, but it is given for the purpose of guiding us. You know what a lighthouse does? A lighthouse actually guides the ship to shore. And the way that we lead people to the shore of heaven is by being a light in a dark, dismal world. Listen to David in Psalms 119, verse 105. He says, "Your word is a light, a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathway." Do you know you and I would never, ever find our way to heaven without the light of the gospel? You and I would never, ever get to go to heaven had it not been for the revealed light of the eternal word of our Father in heaven. You see, the word of God is that which guides us in doctrine. That's not a bad word, by the way. The Bible says the early church continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, which, by the way, was the doctrine of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "You shall know of his doctrine." But it guides us in doctrine. It guides us in reproof. If you go to the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3, you'll find that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And it is true. The Word of God guides us to truth and to righteousness, and it is given for the purpose of correction when we get on the wrong path. And many times people do. When a ship is adrift and they're going the wrong way, the lighthouse, the beacon shines, and the ship finds her way into safe harbor. In Psalms 43 and 3, David said, "Oh, send out thy light, thy truth, and let them lead me, and let them bring me into thy holy hills," he said, "and even unto thy tabernacle." You know, God guides our step like we guide the steps of our children. When we are Christians, there are times that we're going to stumble and we're going to fall, just like a young child. It's going to happen. I've had people say, "Well, I'm going to become a Christian one of these days when I really believe I can live it." What if a child took that position and said, "Well, I'm going to walk one of these days when I believe I can get up and walk"? It isn't going to happen. You didn't walk that way. You didn't suddenly burst up from where you were sitting and crawling on the floor and say, "Well, I'm going to walk now and I will never fall again." Didn't happen that way. You know what? God guides our step. The Bible says that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Factually speaking, Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 17, "It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps." It is impossible for us to guide ourselves. And so the word of God serves as a guide. That's what David said when he said, "Your word's a lamp to my feet and a light unto my pathway." In Psalms 119 and verse 130, he says, "Entrance into thy word giveth light, and it giveth understanding even unto the simple." In the book of Luke 1 and verse 79, the word of God says that the word was given to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide their feet in the way of peace. Many of us have read Psalms chapter 23. It's one of the great texts of the Bible. You've heard it many times. Many times you hear it at memorial services. Many times you hear it in a Bible class. Parents will read it to their young children to remind them that God is shepherding all of us. And David says, "He will lead me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake." Psalms 89 and verse 15, "Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound, for they shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance." What is the purpose of light? It is not just to illuminate and not just to guide us, but it is the purpose of communicating unto us. You know, communication is a wonderful thing. And we have a lot of means of communication today. We do. Light communicates unto us. If the Bible really is the Word of God, that's how God communicates unto us, through His light. Lights communicate a lot of things. You're driving down the highway. and you see a traffic signal up ahead, and you see a red light, it communicates unto you that you are to stop. Sometimes people just go right on through it. I heard about a man one time who was riding with another fella. And the man who was driving the car came up and started approaching a red light, and he just went right on through it. And his friend looked at him. He says, "Man," he said, "I can't believe you ran that red light. You know that's a red light?" He said, "Yeah, I know it." He said, "My brother always does it." He said, "You just deliberately ran that red light." He says, "I know it." They went a little bit further down the highway, and they came to another traffic signal, red light, and the man goes right through it. His friend looked at him. He said, "Man, you just ran another red light. They're going to stop us." He said, "No, my brother always does it." He said, "I can't believe you." They approached another traffic signal. The light was green, and the man came to an abrupt stop. His friend looked at him. He says, "Man," he said, "I can't figure this out. You run red lights, but you approach this green light and you stop. Why would you stop at a green light?" He said, "My brother might be coming." Now, there are times when light communicates us unto us a lot of things. It will communicate to you women that your house may need a cleaning. Don't look at your wife. It may communicate unto you that you have a dirty garment that you're about to put on your body. Lights on your dash may communicate unto you that you need to service your engine. It may tell you that your alternator is not putting out like it ought to, or that you may be low on water. You see, communication is a great thing. But it also, the light of God communicates unto us the power of God, the majesty of God. Have you ever thought about the power of God? That Jesus said, "All things are powerful. All things are possible with Jehovah God." And it's true, isn't it? It is. You know why it's snowing in New York City? Is because they have a New York City mentality. No. Do you know why it's snowing in New York City? It's because God let it snow. Set records, over 20 inches. The power of God. God in His Word gives us power. Listen to the book of John chapter 1 and verse 12. "To them that receive Him gave He the power to become the sons of God, to as many as believe on His name." The power of God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 6, the Bible says, "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts," He says, "to give light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." In John 9 and verse 5, Jesus said, "As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." And He is the light. The purpose of light is not only to illuminate, not only is it for the purpose of guiding us and directing us, but light also warns us. It warns us. If you've ever been driving down the highway and you see flashing lights behind you, and there may be someone who is in an ambulance, it warns us to move out of the way. Light warns us of a lot of things. David said, "The Lord is my light." He warns me. "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Of whom shall I fear? For the Lord is my strength, the strength of my life." And then he says, "Of whom," in question, "shall I be afraid?" You know, Jesus, through his word, the Bible is not only a book that tells us of the great majesty of God. Not only does it illuminate and reveal unto us a lot of things about God, but it also is a book of warning. It does. God warns us about a lot of things. And as a matter of fact, Jesus did in the 7th chapter of the book of Matthew, verse 13 and 14. He says, strive to enter at the straight gate. For straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leads unto life, and few there be that find it. But strive to enter at the straight gate, for wide, he said, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. You know what he warns us about? He says, let me warn you to get your life right with God. Let me warn you not to go to hell. Let me warn you to live in such a way as to let your light shine before others that you won't lead them to hell, but you lead them to harbor, that you lead them to Christ, who is the Savior and the great light. In the book of Revelation 20, the Bible says, and whosoever was not found in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. In reality, Jesus is the light in the fog, and he says unto us, follow me, John 8 and verse 12. He doesn't just say, I'm the light of the world, but he says, follow me, and that's exactly what he wants us to do. He does. Many people do not believe that someday there is going to be a day of reckoning, but there will be. Whether you believe it or not, doesn't negate the fact that it is true. But how do I follow Jesus if he is the light? How do I follow him? God's plan is so simple that even a young child could understand it. You have to hear the word of God. We've been talking this morning about the fact that the word of God leads us and guides us. It illuminates. It warns us. It's true. So that's the reason we have to hear it. For in the book of Romans 10 and verse 17, Paul says that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of the Lord. And then we must believe that Jesus is the Son of God, John 8 and verse 24. And then we must repent of our sins, Luke 13 and verse 3. And then we must confess that faith in Christ, according to Acts 8 and verse 37. When the Ethiopian was asked the question, do you believe? He said, I believe with all of my heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And then we must be baptized for the remission of our sins. Acts 2 and verse 38. And then we must live the faithful life. The light does not stop when one is immersed or baptized into Christ. It doesn't stop there. The Bible says we must live that faithful life before Christ. And if we are erring children of God, the message is illuminated to us, and the message guides us, and the message warns us. I tell you, nay, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. So we must confess our sin before God and pray that God would forgive us. If we confess our sins, 1 John 1 and verse 9, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Jesus is coming in the clouds someday. Isn't that a wonderful thought? You know, we look up and we see clouds approaching. We generally think storm. How many times do you ever think when you see those clouds approaching, it may be Jesus? It may be the Lord who is getting ready to come. One of these days he is. When I think about my Lord and what he has done for me, how could I not follow him? There was a little boy one time who invited his mother to attend an elementary school's first teacher-parent conference. To the little boy's dismay, she said she would go. This would be the first time that the classmates and the teacher would meet this young boy's mother. But this young boy, unlike a lot of children, was embarrassed about the appearance of his mother. Although she was a beautiful woman, there was a severe scar that covered nearly the entire right side of her face. The boy really never wanted to talk about it, why, or how she got the scar. And at the conference, the people were impressed by the kindness and the natural beauty of this young boy's mother. Despite the scar, But the little boy was still embarrassed and hid himself from everybody. He did, however, get within earshot of a conversation between his mother and the teacher and heard them speaking. And the teacher asked, "How did you get the scar on your face?" The teacher asked. And the mother replied, "When my son was just a young baby, he was in a room that caught fire, and everyone was reluctant and afraid to go in because the fire, well, it was out of control. So I went in. And as I was running toward his crib, I saw a beam coming down, and I placed myself over him, trying to shield my son. I was knocked unconscious. Fortunately, a fireman came in and saved both of us." She touched the burned side of her face, and she said, "This scar will be permanent. But to this day, I have never regretted doing what I did." At that point, the little boy who was listening came running in toward his mom with tears in his eyes. He hugged her and felt an overwhelming sense of sacrifice that his mother had made for him. And he held her hand tightly the rest of the day. You know, when I think about the scars of my Savior, I'm drawn to Jesus. The scars in his hands, the scars on his brow, the scars on his feet, the scars on his body, his side where it had been pierced. A body full of scars, and every scar illuminating to me the great love of my Savior. Why would I not want to follow him? Why would I not want to walk in the light? 1 John 1, verse 7 says that if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Christ cleanseth us from all sin. That word that gives light and that Jesus is given would judge us in the last day, John 12 and verse 48. Jesus said, "For he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my word hath one that judgeth him. And the word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." Isn't it time for us as God's children? And isn't it time for you, if you're not a Christian, to arise and let the beauty of Jesus, as we were saying a moment ago, be seen in us? Not heard in us, but seen in us by the way that we demonstrate our lives. And I will tell you again, you cannot be a beacon if your light doesn't shine. Maybe your light's gone out this morning. You know it has, because you know you're not the right kind of influence that you ought to be. You know down deep inside that other people are not following you because you're walking in darkness and they're searching for light. You know that you've gone back into a sinful world and your life is not any different from those that are out there on the sea of life. We're struggling in darkness to find their way to the harbor. You know this morning, maybe in your heart of hearts, that you're not a Christian. You're only contributing to the darkness. You've turned away from the light. Why wouldn't you turn to Jesus this morning? He is the light of the world. Will you let him be your light this morning? by confessing him as Lord and by being immersed in water for the forgiveness of your sin. And then begin to radiate that light to all who are engulfed in a dark, dark, dismal world. I hope you'll make that decision while we sing this song. Let's be standing.